of the events that have taken place on this day in history. The weather for Wausau today, partly sunny, with a high near 14. Tonight, mostly cloudy, with a low around zero. Thursday, partly sunny, with a high near 23. Currently in Wausau, with overcast skies, it is minus one at 8:59. Everyone, welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Moret. It is Wednesday, and we are studying in the book of Philippians. We're in Philippians chapter 3. We begin our study today in verse number 1. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. And we will conclude this study in the book of Philippians tomorrow. The views and the opinions of this program are solely the views of myself. It may not be the same as that of our management group, the Friends of WNRBLP, or our owners, the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association. And Father, I pray, and I ask that since you promise your word will not come back to you void, but that it accomplishes what you want it to accomplish, I pray that that would happen this morning. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen. The Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course to Christians, says in chapter 3, verse 1, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord." Now I'm going to stop there for a second. Rejoice in the Lord. We're kidding ourselves if we think that we can rejoice in our circumstances all the time. There's way too much bad in this world. I mean, we're kidding ourselves. We're living in the land of make-believe if we try to do that. I know some people who kind of are that way. You know, they almost bury their head in the sand and make believe that everything is just fine, and you know, and put on a happy face, and you know, it's just non-reality. We can't always rejoice in our circumstances. But if you're a Christian, you can always rejoice in the Lord, because He is consistently good. He is morally perfect. He is 100% kind, 100% gracious. He is merciful. He is forgiving. And He is just. And He is always these things all the time. And it's good to have a God like that. It's good to have a God that you can trust. And it's good to have a God because He is all-powerful. It is very good to have a God who is also all-loving. So rejoice in the Lord. And then he says, "It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. And it is a safeguard for you." He says, "I'm saying what I've said before, but you need to hear it again. Because it's important, and because it is the Word of God." You know, once a person has been a Christian for a while anyway, and if they have studied the Word of God, and if they have been to a church that taught the Bible, Bible study becomes mostly review, but that's okay. It's very important to hear the same biblical doctrines and promises, and admonitions, and yes, warnings, again and again. Because we get busy, don't we? And we can easily forget these things. And also, we live in a world that clutters our soul with things that are ungodly. And then we start thinking the wrong way, and then it affects our life. And That's not good. So our souls need to be cleaned out by the Word of God, and we learn by repetition. And that's not just the Bible, that's anything. We learn by repetition, by doing things over and over again. Verse 2, he says, watch out for those dogs. And he's not talking about animals. He goes on, he says, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. So he says, watch out. He's telling Christians that we have to be on our guard. And if we don't stand guard over our soul and protect our soul from its spiritual enemies, then it's going to result in terrible consequences for us, both in this life and in the next. So stand guard. You know, that's a responsibility that every single Christian has for themselves. We can try to help one another, but it boils down to standing guard over our own souls. And it says in verse 3, for it is we who are the circumcision. Stop there for a second. Let me clarify something. If you were the recipient of this letter in the first century Israel, in that area of Palestine, you would know exactly what he was saying. Circumcision was the rite of initiation in the Old Testament religion. God's people were circumcised. Every male was circumcised on the eighth day, similar to infant baptism today. And so when he says that we are the circumcision, what he is saying is that we are the people of God. Well, who are the people of God? Let's read it again. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. So to be one of God's people, our confidence must not be in our flesh, in our own self-effort. Our confidence must be in Christ Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. That is what makes a person a member of God's family. Verse 4. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks that he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. And he was right. I'll tell you what, if anyone ever had reasons to be confident in their religiosity, it was the Apostle Paul. Notice this list of accomplishments, you might say. Verse 5, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, and they were the strictest. He was a member of the Pharisees. They were a strict religious sect in first century Israel. So this man had been as self-righteous and religious as anyone could possibly be. And that's why he said, if anybody has reason to trust in their own accomplishments to be right with God, religious accomplishments, man, it's me. And he goes on in verse 6, as for zeal, persecuting the church, oh, he hated Christianity. He was absolutely sure that Christianity was dead wrong. So he set out as a Jewish leader to destroy the church. And he says, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. He put the pedal to the metal and he floored it for his religion. He kept all the rules of the Jewish religion. So he says, if anybody has reason to think that they can be right with God because of adherence to their religion, it's me. Verse 7, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. In other words, he had this long list of religious accomplishments. He had a big resume. But he traded in all those religious works for faith in the work of Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross. Verse 8. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And everyone has to choose whether they are going to trust in their own ability to get to heaven through good works, through charitable acts, or are they going to trust in Jesus to get them to heaven? Which one's it going to be? We all must choose. And the Apostle Paul at one time trusted in himself. But then, one day, God showed him that he wasn't going to make it. And so he did the smart thing. He decided to trust in Christ. And that's a decision, as I said, that everyone must make. There are really only two choices. Are you going to try to get to heaven by your religious works, by your adherence to your religion, or by your own self-effort in some other way? Or are you going to trust in what Jesus did on the cross, dying to pay for our sins? Those are the only two choices, really, that anyone has. Verse 9. I'm going to read, well, let's just read verse 9. And be found in him, in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. You see, when we ask Jesus Christ to be our Lord and our Savior, God gives us his righteousness. He credits the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which was absolute moral perfection, pure 100% holiness. That's what Jesus is. When we receive Christ, God takes his righteousness and puts it into our spiritual account. He puts all of our sins on Christ. He puts all of Christ's righteousness on us. In other words, we become righteous in position in the eyes of God. We are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, we don't always act righteous, but in God's eyes, he sees us as righteous in his Son, Jesus Christ. So everyone has a choice. You're going to try to work your way up the spiritual ladder till you're good enough to get to heaven. And the Bible says all fall short. Or you're simply going to accept Christ as Lord and Savior and have his righteousness placed on your account. It seems like a no-brainer, doesn't it? It sure was to the Apostle Paul. Verse 10. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Every true Christian wants to know Christ better. Every true Christian wants to live holy. I'm not saying that every Christian lives holy all the time and is perfect, because no one is perfect. But every true Christian wants to live holy. And every true Christian who wants those first two things, they want to know Christ better and they want to be holy, will also experience the third thing mentioned in verse 10. And that's suffering in some manner for Christ. See, it's a package deal. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. He's not saying, boy, I've got to somehow attain to the resurrection of the dead in the sense of saying, I've got to figure out how I'm going to make that happen. I've got to figure out how to be raised from the dead so I can be raised from the dead. He's not saying that. Jesus already tells us how he's going to raise us from the dead. The Bible says that the day is coming when everyone in the grave will hear his voice and they will be raised. That's how we're going to be raised from the dead. Jesus is going to command, and it's going to happen. So if we truly belong to Jesus Christ, then we're going to be raised from the dead through the power of Christ. Verse 12. Actually, let's stop. It is 9:14. Yeah, I think it's a good time for our break, so we'll stop here, and we'll take a one-minute break. Please listen to this. I'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret.
This is By the Way. If you live in snow country or you have a chance to visit areas that experience quite a bit of snow in the wintertime, you may have found yourself feeling a bit sorry for the animals that have to survive. We're told that in North America there are literally hundreds of different species of birds, and many of them remain in a geographical area even in the coldest of winters. How do they stay warm? How do they find food? I feel sorry for them. But if you watch them in the cold wind and snow, they seem to be doing just fine. Jesus occasionally mentioned birds, noting that God cares for them too, just as he does for all his creation. Now imagine how much more a God who cares for the birds of the air cares for you. That's a pretty nice thought, isn't it? This is By the Way.
And we're back here. Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Moret. We've got overcast skies in Wausau, and we're all the way up to zero. We're up from minus one to zero at 9:15. Actually, it's 9:16. And we are also studying the book of Philippians, and we resume our study in Philippians chapter 3. Let's see. We pick it up in verse 12. Philippians 3, verse 12. Which reads, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Jesus took hold of the Apostle Paul to save his soul from hell, to make him holy, and to use him. Jesus takes hold of us for those same reasons. To save us, to make us holy, and in the process, use us for his glory. A Christian's supreme purpose in life should be holiness and being used by Jesus to further his kingdom. Nothing should be more important to us as Christians than that. There are a lot of important things, but nothing should overshadow that. He says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. This is such great counsel for people today. Too many Christians are stuck in the past. They think way too much about the bad things they have done in the past, even though God has forgiven them. They have not forgiven themselves. That's not God's will. Too many Christians are thinking way too much about the bad things that they have done in the past, Or maybe the bad things that were done to them in the past. That's not good either. They're stuck in the spiritual mud of the past, so they are useless to Jesus in the present, and most of the time run around with a sad countenance. See, that's not God's will. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and God says, forget the past and move on with life. And so he says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Christians should quit dwelling on the past and start dwelling on the future, which includes standing before Jesus to give an account of our deeds after becoming a Christian. And I'll tell you what, the older I get, the more I think of that day. Because the older I get, every day that passes, I am one day closer to that happening. We need to be thinking about the future, like the Apostle Paul. The Bible teaches that we should be focusing on trying to be everything that Christ wants us to be today, so that we are ready for that day in the future when we stand before Him. So just forget the past. What's done is done. How are you going to change it anyway? You know, when you stop and think about it, worrying about the past, dwelling on the past, is just such a waste of time. Not only is it unbiblical, it's such a waste of time. Like, dwelling on it is going to help? No one has invented a time machine yet where you can go back in the past and change things. So, you know, what's done is done. Forget it. That's God's admonition for us today. 15, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. He says, you know, if you're a mature Christian, then that's how you're going to see things. You're going to know that this is right. And if you don't quite get that, if it hasn't quite sunk in, he says, don't worry about it. You'll get it. God will reveal it to you. God is patient with us. We can't possibly learn everything that we need to learn immediately. You know, it happens over time. And if you don't get certain things about the Bible, if some things just don't make sense to you, don't worry about it. And if you don't get certain things about God and about Jesus, maybe that more mature Christians get, don't worry about it. It'll happen. God will make truths clear to people if they have a heart for Christ and if they stay close to Him. So just be patient with yourself and be patient with others too. Verse 16. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. You know what he's saying? He's saying, don't worry about what you don't know. God will not hold you accountable for what you don't know. Live by the truth that you do know. There's enough to be concerned about, isn't there? You live by the truth that you do know, and God will give you more truth in the process. A big part of growing in our knowledge of God includes living for God today, right where we are, and living up to the knowledge that we have, and when we fail, confess it and find forgiveness immediately through Jesus Christ. 17, join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. Be an effective spiritual leader. And to be one, one must live out the message that he teaches. How many of you would listen to a parent who would tell you to do something and then turn right around and not do it themselves? All credibility is gone. And it's the same in Christianity. A Christian leader must live the Bible, or he is no leader. And he won't be able to teach the Bible effectively to others either, because he has no credibility. 18, for As I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. You know, there are some enemies of the cross of Christ. Say, how do I recognize an enemy of the cross of Christ? Well, those who say that the cross, Jesus' death on the cross, did not sufficiently pay for our sins, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Those who say that we must add our own good works to obtain the redemption, which the Bible says that Jesus already paid for on the cross, they also are the enemies of the cross of Christ because they are misrepresenting what Jesus did. They are limiting, downplaying what Jesus did there. And I'll tell you, somebody else who is an enemy of the cross of Christ, Christians who insist on being self-centered instead of Christ-centered and others-centered, they are enemies of the cross of Christ too, because Jesus said that unless you die to self and pick up your cross and follow me daily, you cannot be my disciple. So those who refuse to die to self and pick up their cross and carry it daily, but instead live for themselves, are living as enemies of the cross of Christ. 19. Look at this. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. I will tell you what. A faith that saves is a faith that changes how one lives as well. I honestly do not want to hear about so-called carnal Christians who live like the devil and yet expect to be in heaven. That is a lie. Verse 19 is clear. If their appetite is their God, not just physical, not just eating, but any kind of fleshly appetite, if that is their God, and their mind is set on earthly things, then God Almighty says right here that their destiny is destruction. Jesus said, don't fear those who can only destroy the body. Fear him who has power to destroy both body and soul in hell. Jesus warned us about the broad road, which leads to destruction. So if your mind is on earthly things instead of on Christ, that is strong evidence that you are on the road to destruction. And that's not good at all. And I think we'll stop right there, and we'll pick it up in verse 20 tomorrow, and we will finish our study in Philippians tomorrow. If you have any questions for me, if you have any comments, please write me at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. If you appreciate this program, it would be a great encouragement to me to hear from you. And if you don't want to take the time to write, I understand that. But perhaps you would send an email, and that would be greatly appreciated. If you appreciate this program, or if you have any questions or comments, excuse me, you can email me at vbyvmm@aol.com. Let me say that again. It's vbyvmm@aol.com. And if you want more of the Word of God, you can go to the Scripture Verse by Verse website. You'll find plenty of it there. You can study the entire Bible online with my audio Bible commentaries for free, of course, at meret.org. That's meurett.org. Again, meurett.org. And if you have a couple of minutes today and you want to be blessed this Christmas season, go to the Scripture Verse by Verse website. Check on the homepage for the link that says Carol's Christmas Videos. And I promise you, you'll be blessed. And again, that web address is Meret, meurett.org. If you want to come and join us for Sunday morning service, you're welcome to do that. We have a simple service. Lasts about 50 minutes. You get the Word of God verse by verse. And if you're hungry for the Word of God, I promise you a good time. Sunday morning, 10 o'clock at Island Place, which is right next to Oak Island here in Wausau. That's Island Place, right next to Oak Island here in Wausau at 10 o'clock Sunday morning. I am with you Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. And so have a great Wednesday, and I'll see you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Until then, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.